Welcome to the Altus State and Local Tax and Advisory Podcast Series. Today we're speaking with Renee Linton, who's the Director of Property, Tax, and Hospitality at Altus Group, who's been kind enough to speak with us today about valuation best practices for timeshares. And Renee's actually been a property tax consultant for more than 25 years, and for the last 16 years, she was part of Marriott's tax department, focusing on hotels, senior living, and timeshares, generating large tax savings for both real and business personal property. She joined Altus Group along with the Marriott tax team at the beginning of the year, and Renee has also been a speaker at conferences in the U.S. and internationally on hotel and timeshare valuation methodologies, and she has established herself as the foremost timeshare real estate expert from her work. And Renee, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. And let's jump right in. Let's start from a high level. Give us a high-level overview of the basics of timeshares.
Sure. The timeshare concept is where many owners share in the right to use a particular property for an allotted period of time. That owner will pay for this period of time and then will share the yearly cost of the property's operation and maintenance. There's some basic physical attributes to timeshares that probably a lot of people are familiar with. They closely resemble condominiums, apartments, and hotels where the rooms are fully furnished. The amenities are similar to hotels. There's pools, exercise rooms, small convenience stores, housekeeping, and some even have some restaurants. And that owner can purchase a week or by a fractional basis. One is by the week, and then the other one is a fractional where there's 3, 5, or 12 weeks intervals that they can purchase that they can take at the same time every year or spread it out over the calendar year. And this owner's period of time can be purchased the same time every year, and this is for the weeklies. A floating stay within a certain season, let's say there's a season around the July 4th weekend, week time, or like Christmas and New Year's, or they can buy every other year where they stay an odd year or even year, or they can rotate the week throughout the year, and they share in some of the good weeks, and then they have some off-peak seasons throughout the year.
That's great. Well, thank you for that rundown there. Now, let's switch here a little bit and tell us about the valuation basics and methodologies of timeshares.
Okay. There are over 1,600 timeshare resorts across the U.S., encompassing more than 7 million weeks or interests of timeshares. And as you can probably guess, there are diverse timeshare definitions among all the taxing jurisdictions with different types of valuation methodologies. Most governments have statutes that determine how the timeshares are assessed, but this can vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction and even county to county within a given state. First, I wanted to cover the basics. Each state has the statutes that govern how the parcels are actually taxed. Some states do it by the week, some by the unit, like a condominium unit, or by the building, where if the property has 3 to 4 buildings, each building is separately assessed. And then there's also the states that tax on one economic unit, where those 3 or 4 buildings are on one parcel and they're taxed as one unit. And as an example, for the weekly, California assesses every week. So if you have a 300-room property, each week within those 300 rooms has a taxable parcel. So that property can have 15,600 taxable parcels within that property. Whereas on the other end, Arizona will tax the whole thing as one economic unit, where all the 3 or 4 buildings are all taxed as one. So with those basics, we go into the 4 basic methodologies. There's cost, residential sales, developer sales, and resale third-party market sales. The cost approach is pretty straightforward. They take construction costs, less depreciation, and they come up with a valuation. Very few jurisdictions actually utilize this methodology, but there are a few. The second is residential sales, where the taxing jurisdiction will find a comparable condo project and analyze the sales within that project and apply it to the timeshares. The thing about this is the taxing jurisdiction will not make any deductions for the sales and marketing costs as well as personal property, which I'll talk about later. The third is developer sales, where the taxing authority will utilize all the initial sales in a project as it's getting close to being open and after opening until it's stabilized. And as you can guess, those sales are typically the higher limit of value since there are more intangible components within those initial sales that the developer needs to recoup. And then the fourth is like a resale third-party market sales. I'm sure everybody's seen ads about timeshare websites and everything to sell timeshares. So once there's an adequate a number of these resales in the market or these third-party sales within a unit, the tax assessor will utilize these sales to value the particular units, and they feel that they have excluded the personal property of financing and sales and marketing, so they feel that's the bare minimum of valuation.
That's great. Thanks for that rundown there, Renee. So tell us about the possible double taxation issues that can occur, as well as the sales and marketing costs that come from selling.
Sure. Timeshares, as well as other vacation ownership properties, are unique with many components driving those sales prices that should be considered in the valuation methodologies that I discussed earlier. The first is sales and marketing costs. As I said, that jurisdiction where they use condominium sales, a consideration needs to be given that condominium unit is only sold one time, where a timeshare unit is sold 51 times. And as you guess, from selling those timeshares, that one unit 51 times, there's extraordinary high sales and marketing costs. There's management that goes in selling those units, and there's services and financing costs. And in some projects, these extraordinary costs of sales and marketing exceed 40% of the sales price, and they need to be adequately considered when making the valuation on the timeshare. The other aspect of establishing a value on the timeshare is double taxation. As I mentioned, personal property is included in all the sales. Each unit is fully furnished with kitchens, dining areas, bedroom suites, and all those items are incorporated into the sales price. By not removing this cost could lead to double taxation or a tax that's not even permissible in a state where it is not taxable, such as New Jersey or Hawaii. And another aspect of double taxation are the common elements. Timeshares have many amenities and common elements, pools, fitness centers, etc., that are actually part of the sales price too. And the cost to maintain these common elements or amenities are in the annual maintenance fee. And in some instances, the taxing authorities separately assess these common elements, which could lead to double taxation since they've already part of the sales price, which was used for valuation. And then there's another tax for these common elements that are separately assessed. And then the third valuation issue is the taxing authority should be making adequate consideration of the many types of sales within a unit or project. As I mentioned, there's developer sales, third-party sales, resales, and then also the time of the period of time that the owner purchased it. Is it a peak time, odd year, even year, things like that? And all those sales can just be in one unit. And by the taxing authority not recognizing those differences between all the sales, they might only base their valuation on just one sale, which could, be over what the unit should be assessed, or it could be under. It could be worked both ways, but most of the times it's over what the actual real estate should be assessed as.
That's great. And Renee, this has been a great podcast. But before we sign off, tell us a little bit about Altus Group's services for this market.
Sure. As you said at the top of the podcast, Altus is we recently added specific and unique expertise for the hospitality and timeshare industry. Timeshare developers and owner associations should be monitoring their properties to ensure they are paying no more than their fair share of property taxes. Timeshares are unique properties that deserve specific valuation methodologies. They are not just condominiums or apartment buildings or hotels, but a business with the real estate that is complex and needs to be recognized by taxing jurisdictions. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Excellent. And for all of our listeners out there, you just heard an exclusive podcast interview with Renee Linton, who is the Director of Property, Tax, Hospitality at Altus Group. And Renee was kind enough to share some very interesting insights into valuation best practices for timeshares. And Renee, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Take care.